Okay, you ready? You can hear me okay? Great, we're on. Perfect. Awesome. Let's go. I'm Peter Little, lead pastor at Christ Pacific Church in Huntington Beach, California. We're cultivating a community of faith, hope, and love that follows Jesus into the world. And you're listening to our Sunday Sermons podcast. To learn more about us or to subscribe to this podcast, visit us at cpchb.org. Thanks for listening. When I was in high school, my neighbor was a former linebacker in the NFL. He played in the NFL for a number of years, and as you can imagine, he was a thick guy, strong as a horse. And I was playing high school football at the time with no prospects or hope of playing in the NFL. And my neighbor spent like quite a bit of time trying to convince me as a young high school athlete trying to play football. He was trying to convince me to prioritize my stretching. The reason that he did this is because for him, his primary physical fitness strategy was stretching. So while he was playing, in addition to practice, he would stretch for at least an hour every day. A lot of his teammates, you know, they would spend a ton of time lifting weights and doing other forms of exercise, but all he did was stretch. And he was convinced that this was the most important thing, and so he tried to get me onto this stretching routine. It didn't work, which is why I didn't play in the NFL. Otherwise, I would have been playing on the NFL if I would have just stretched more. That was the only that was my only challenge. But when he stretched, one of the things he talked about was, you know, this stretching routine, this is actually what strengthens my muscles and my tendons. It actually makes him stronger. It also makes him, his body, much more resilient. So, you know, in football, when he gets hit or when he has a rough practice, like his body is more resilient. It's able to recover more quickly because of his stretching routine. He also was able to reduce his rate of injury. He was able to reduce his experience of fatigue being a professional athlete. All of this because he spent a lot of time stretching every day. So stretching was his primary physical fitness strategy. And I wonder if prayer is the primary strategy the Lord has gifted us with in order for us to build discipleship muscles, in order for us to grow strong in the Lord, in order for us to become more and more resilient so that when we hit those bumps or experience those storms or those challenging seasons, we will be able to bounce back more quickly. I wonder if prayer is a gift from God in order to help us, you know, reduce injury and reduce fatigue. I think we ought to pray about it. How about you? Let's do it. Gracious and living God, thanks for the gift of prayer, the gift of conversation that you have given to us. And we pray now that you would speak to us. We pray now that you would open our ears, open our hearts, our minds, that you would strengthen us so we might become more deeply rooted in you, that we might become more built up in you. Lord, we need to hear your voice, not mine, and so you speak, God. And thank you for the privilege of using this human voice you've given me. God, may everything I say today be pleasing to you and edifying to your church. And anything that I might say that wouldn't do that, I pray those words would just be forgotten. They would roll off of our shoulders. What you want to say this morning, God, that these words would stick. These words would stick not just so that we would know more, but so that we would know you more. That would be awesome, and that's our prayer. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So by way of review, here we're in this series called Christ in Me, although I wish I could rename it. I'm going to rename it right now. We're renaming the sermon series. It's now called Christ in Us, Here we go. So you can change all your notes. Christ in us. And just by way of review, we started a couple weeks ago, beginning in Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 and 7. Here it is on the screen, and I want to read it again. As you therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. So in other words, as a tree draws nourishment and strength from its root system, so also you and I are invited to draw strength from being rooted in Christ, to draw nourishment from being rooted in Christ. And then last week, we jumped over to Colossians chapter 3, and here is verse 12 again. Colossians 3, verse 12, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, and Dean helped us see and understand this last week. Man, there's the gospel, the whole gospel right there given to us in those few words. You and I have been chosen by God. He pursued you before you ever pursued him. That we've been made holy. In other words, we've been set apart for a special purpose, the purposes of the Lord. And that you and I are beloved before we ever even lifted a pinky finger to do anything for God. He already loved us. Man, that's the gospel. And in light of that, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Because you are chosen, put on clothes that match your identity. Dress appropriately, in other words. You're a chosen one, holy, loved by God. And the appropriate clothes to wear when that is who you are clothes that are characterized by compassion and kindness and love for one another and an eagerness to forgive. Wear appropriate clothes. And now, as we're going to explore today, because Christ lives in us, we are invited, we're called into, perhaps we could even say we're commanded to devote ourselves to prayer. And so we're going to turn to Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 to 4. This is the text we're going to focus on today. I'm going to read it for you. Devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray for us as well, that God will open to us a door for the word, that we may declare the mystery of Christ, a mystery for which I am in prison, so that I may reveal it clearly as I should. I want to focus on four words that are in that text this morning. The first is devoted. The second is alert. The third is thanksgiving. And the fourth, I'm going to cheat, it's two words, open door. Those are the four words that we're going to explore this morning. So first of all, devote yourselves to prayer. We should probably answer a pretty straightforward question right out the bat. What is prayer? What actually are we talking about? And the simplest way to talk about prayer is that it is a conversation with God. Prayer is speaking to and listening to the living God, which is why if you know how to speak and you know how to listen, you know how to pray. You have this skill set. You learned it very early on in life. You know how to talk, and so you know how to pray. You know how to listen, and so you know how to pray. I love some of the pre-service music that happens here in the worship hall. So it's like house music that's just playing as people gather in. And less often it's playing before this service, but often before the first service. At like 8:47, usually I look at my watch, it's about 13 minutes before the service starts. The song on the house music comes up, and it's this song that says, hey, we're just talking to Jesus. I'm just talking to Jesus. It doesn't go like that at all, but those are the words. I'm just talking to Jesus. And it's just, that's what prayer is. We're just talking, and I would add listening to Jesus. That's what prayer is. And so just like a child would communicate to her parents, so also you and I are invited to communicate to our Father in heaven. And just like any reasonable and loving parent, a parent would not expect his or her daughter, for example, to be very articulate when she speaks to them. But rather, any reasonable and loving parent is just pleased that she's talking to them, especially if she's a teenager, right? Just pleased that that their son is speaking to them and listening to them. It doesn't matter if he or she is using complete sentences. That's not the point. The point is, oh, it's so good to talk to you. Just tell me what's going on. Tell me what you care about. Tell me what you're afraid of today. Tell me what you're concerned about, what you're excited about. I want to hear about it. This is what prayer is, a conversation with God. I had a mentor for a season in my life where I would meet with him periodically, and in the course of a conversation I'd be having with him, he would randomly start talking to Jesus instead of me. And at first it was kind of like, whoa, what just happened? This seems kind of weird. But then I was like, oh no, this is perfectly natural, because what's going on right here was a three-way conversation. So I would ask my mentor a question, you know, I don't know, like, hey, you know, do you have any advice about, or what should I do about? And he would, you know, begin to speak, and then he would just say, oh, Jesus, what would be your best for Peter in this situation? And then he would, like, sometimes listen and then talk to me. And I realized, like, this is perfectly natural. This is a three-way conversation in which me and my mentor are trying to hear from the living God. Why would we not, in conversation, also talk to the living God in addition to one another? And Paul writes in Colossians chapter 4 that we are to devote ourselves to this conversation. That we are to devote ourselves to this conversation. In other words, that we're to be persistent, to keep on keeping on. Keep on having this conversation continually. In another verse in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17, we're called to pray without ceasing. Sometimes that trips people up, because it's like, what do you mean pray without ceasing? Like, I do have to sleep and go to the bathroom and make dinner and go to the soccer game. How am I going to pray without ceasing? Well, I love what the Biola graduate and former professor there, R. Kent Hughes, says about this verse, about this sense of praying continuously. He says, you know, when Paul writes that we are to pray continuously, it may not be so much that he's addressing the speaking of words as if we were to speak incessantly, but that we are invited to take on a certain posture of our hearts. That to pray without ceasing is a posture of our hearts. And I think he's right about that. That seems right to me. We are absolutely called to have intentional, specific times of prayer, conversation with God, where we are to open up our mouths and use words, open up our ears and use our eardrums, and speak to and listen to the living Lord Jesus. To have those specific times of prayer. And Jesus modeled this for us all the time, right? He would often get up early in the morning and go off by himself so that he could pray to his Father. And yet, what does being devoted to prayer look like? What does praying without ceasing look like? Well, think of someone in your life who's exceedingly helpful. Right? They're just always helping you and helping other people. They're serving in all sorts of ways. Right? They have a servant posture towards others and towards the world. It's not that they are actually serving all the time. They also have to sleep and eat and just go to the beach by themselves or whatever. But what it is that these folks who are serving all the time, who are serving without ceasing or devoting themselves to service, it's that they're constantly eager to serve. They're constantly looking for opportunities to serve. They're aware of needs that they can meet and be of service. And I wonder if this is what Paul meant when he said, pray without ceasing. Be eager to pray. Look for opportunities to pray. Desire to pray as often as you can. I think that's what Paul is after when he says, devote yourselves to prayer. Take on a posture of prayer. Look for opportunities where you can pray, where you can pray for others. Look for opportunities to have conversation with the living God. The early church was devoted to prayer. Prayerful devotion, prayerful engagement was a cornerstone of the early church. I'm not going to read from there. That'll take too long. It was a cornerstone of the early church. Listen to these verses. Acts chapter 1, verse 14. All of the first disciples of Jesus, they were constantly devoting themselves to prayer. Acts 2:42. All of those in the early church devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to the prayers. Romans 12:12. Rejoice in hope, be patient in suffering, persevere in prayer. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, the most underlined verse in the Bible app. Do not worry about anything. We love this verse. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, along with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends human understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. In everything, present your requests to God. In other words, be devoted to prayer as the early church was. Clearly, this was a cornerstone of their life experience. And I wonder if this devotion to prayer, I wonder if this is why, at least one of the reasons why, the early church grew so rapidly. It was growing like wildfire, despite, sorry, that's the wrong analogy to use in California. It was growing like a rainstorm. It was like almost out of control. People were coming to Jesus like crazy. Was it because the early Christians were devoted to prayer? I wonder what would happen at Christ Pacific. I wonder what would happen in churches all across Huntington. I wonder what would happen to the church in America, the global church, if we leaned into being devoted to prayer. What might happen? You know, we could find out by devoting ourselves to taking on this prayerful posture, being eager to pray, looking for opportunities to pray wherever we can. Jesus told a really cool parable about persistence in prayer, about being devoted to prayer. It's in Luke chapter 18. I'm going to read it for you. Then Jesus told them a parable about their need to pray always. There it is, pray always, and to not lose heart. He said, in a certain city, there was a judge who neither feared God nor had respect for people. He was a very bad dude. In that city, there was also a widow who kept coming to him and saying, grant me justice against my opponent. In other words, there was a woman who in that culture was truly down and out without any options and very vulnerable. For a while, the man refused, but later he said to himself, though I have no fear of God and no respect for anyone, it's a bad dude, right? Though I have no fear of God and no respect for anyone, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will grant her justice so that she may not wear me out by continually coming. You can hear his annoyance. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God grant justice to his chosen ones who cry to him day and night, who cry out to him? I tell you, he will quickly grant justice to them. Jesus tells us that parable, not because he's comparing himself to that bad dude. Not that Jesus is impatient and careless. But he tells that parable to us to try to invite us in a colorful and illustrative way, to invite us into a persistent prayer life. This widow who was in desperate need, did not give up. She persevered. And that evil guy who didn't care about anyone, even he gave in. Even he relented and gave her what she was asking for. So how much more you who have a good, good Father in heaven? How much more when you are persistent in asking for what you desire and what you need, how much more will he grant you the desires of your heart? Be devoted. Devote yourselves to prayer. And then he goes on and Paul says, devote yourselves in prayer, keeping alert in it. Keeping alert in it. Your prayer is actually how we remain alert to what the living God is doing in the world. I think sometimes Christians unfairly get a bad rap or a bad reputation among some people because it might appear as though when Christians pray that what they're doing is they are attempting to escape reality. You know, the world is too difficult, it's too challenging, I'm just going to turn my back on it, ignore all that, and go into the corner and pray. But this is unfair because this is actually not what prayer is. In prayer, we are actually becoming and remaining alert to the world, alert to what God is doing in the world, in you, through you, in your neighbors, in Christ Pacific Church, in our neighborhood. Prayer is a form of us actually being alert, awakened to the kingdom of God breaking into the present. And what better way to be alert to the kingdom of God than having a personal conversation with the King of the Kingdom? I know that interest rates are a big part of many people's conversations these days as they are going up quite steeply. And I got to thinking about that. And, you know, if you really want to know, if you want to be on the in, you want to know what's going on with the economy, what's going on with the interest rates, what's happening now, what is likely to happen tomorrow. Your best bet, you can't do this, but if you could, it'd be awesome. Your best bet would be to have a personal conversation with the chair of the Federal Reserve. I mean, wouldn't that be amazing? Now, the cool thing is we actually can have personal conversations with the chair of the universe. Right, with the one who is in charge. What better way to be in touch with, to be alert to what's really going on in the world than the one who is in charge of the world? Keep alert, Paul says here, by devoting yourselves to prayer. Prayer is not an escape from reality. It might be the best way we have to engage with reality. He goes on, he says, you know what, do all this, devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with thanksgiving. I think that prayer actually cultivates thanksgiving in our hearts because when we pray, we become more alert to what God is doing in the world. We become more aware of what he has done, what he is doing, and what he is in the process of accomplishing for tomorrow. And when we become more aware of that, we just have more reasons to be grateful. Even in the midst of challenging seasons, you know, even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, in those kinds of seasons, even though we grieve losses that we experience, or we are in the midst of a confusing and chaotic time, even in that, we can pray with thanksgiving. Because we know that God is sovereign, he's in control, we know how the story ends. We know that Jesus wins, and there's so much that we can be grateful for when we go to God in prayer. Giving thanks, or rather praying, is a way to cultivate this spirit of thanksgiving in our hearts. And then Paul goes on, devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with thanksgiving. And then he says, at the same time, pray for us as well that God will open to us a door for the word that we may declare the mystery of Christ, for which I am in prison, by the way, so that I may recall the mystery of Christ, reveal the mystery of Christ clearly as I should. Paul says, will you pray for me? And specifically, would you pray that God will open to us a door for the word of God? So that the word of God might be proclaimed clearly. And the Apostle Paul makes this request behind the closed doors of his prison cell. The irony of this prayer request from Paul is that his proclaiming the mystery of Christ is the whole reason he's behind closed doors in a prison. If he would stop proclaiming Jesus, the doors of the prison would be opened wide. But Paul says, I am not going to do whatever it takes to open these prison doors. Rather, I want to do whatever it takes to continue to proclaim the resurrected Jesus Christ. What would you do if you were in his shoes? I know what I would do, I think. I would be, man, I'd bust out my laptop. I'd be like, prayer at cpchb.org. You guys, I'm in prison. It's super unjust. Please pray that I get out. Please pray that the prison doors would be open. This is so unfair. But it's like Paul, you know, does he want to get out of prison? Probably. He is a human. What strikes me about Paul's prayer request here is that his highest priority is to make the name of Jesus Christ known. Like, that's his highest priority. More important to him than his own safety, than his own security, than his own serenity, that the name of Jesus would be proclaimed. And it seems to me that Paul is actually praying the way Jesus taught us how to pray. Jesus taught us how to pray. He said, pray this way, our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Make your name holy, bring your kingdom, and do your will on earth just as it is in heaven. And it seems to me that Paul is praying that way. He's saying, or he's asking you and me to pray this way when he sends that email to prayer at cpchb.org. He says, please pray that the doors would be swung wide open for God's name to be lifted up, for the name of Jesus Christ to be made holy, to be made known. Please pray that the doors would swing wide open for God's kingdom to advance, for God's kingdom to come in its fullness. Please pray that the doors would swing wide open for the will of the Father to be accomplished on earth as it is in heaven. Paul is praying the way Jesus taught us how to pray. And you know what's really compelling to me and honestly quite convicting to me about this? Is, you know, should I be asking you to pray for my sore back? Yes, actually, please. Would you pray for my sore back? I have a challenge with my back sometimes. It kind of bothers me. So I would take all of your prayers. And ought I be praying about that? Absolutely, because the living God cares more about my back than I do. Absolutely. But when I read this, I also become aware that, you know what, actually, I kind of live at the center of my own universe. And it's like my prayers are often about me. You know, even when they're about you, it's sort of about what you can do for me. It's just all about me. This is the problem with sinful humanity of, you know, which I am a participant. It's all about me. And here we have Paul inviting us into something much bigger. Ought I pray for my sore back? Yes, absolutely, and everything. Pray for everything and anything. As I said earlier, just as a parent wants to hear from their son or their daughter, anything and everything. And also, God is inviting us into a story that's bigger than our own, into a story that's bigger than my own pain management, for example. I'm invited to participate in God opening doors for the gospel to be made known so that more and more people can receive the gospel and enter into the fullness of life, eternal life, life with God the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. You know, why did Paul care so much about this? Why did he care so much about those people in the prison and whoever he was interacting with? Why did he care that they would hear the gospel? Why was he so passionate about that? And I think it's really straightforward. It's because Paul himself experienced the new life that Jesus Christ offered him. And he's like, I can't imagine anyone not receiving this gift. That would be so sad to him. He has been given a new life. He was changed from a man when, well, let me back up. When Jesus knocked him off his horse, literally, when Jesus opened up his eyes, literally, after a period of blindness, but that's details. When he opened up the Apostle Paul's eyes, he gave Paul a new life. And Paul was radically changed. He was changed from a man who was bent on imprisoning and killing everyone who was associated with Jesus. He was turned into a man who was bent on helping as many people as possible become associated with Jesus because he knew, he had experienced that Jesus was the way, the truth, and the life. And what was more important to him than anything was that you and I would experience that new life in Jesus Christ. He cared more about people being set free from the prison of death and sin than he did about being himself set free from that temporary prison. And the reason is because he knew how the story ends. The story ends with everyone who is in Christ. The story ends with everyone who has faith in Jesus Christ enjoying the fullness of life forever. Life, no matter what happened to Paul, life would not end in that prison cell. Whether he died in that prison cell or not, he knew that was not the end for him. But as he looked around and he saw people for whom the end for them may be, in fact, when they stop breathing because they don't yet know Jesus, and he wanted them to know. I can hear Paul saying along with the apostles Peter and John what they say in Acts chapter 4, verse 20, we cannot help but speaking about what we've seen and heard. That's what Peter and John say when they're threatened to stop talking about Jesus or we're going to throw you in jail. And this is basically what Paul is saying and doing. Look, I can't help but speak about what I've experienced, what I've seen, what I've heard. Not even a prison sentence can prevent me from doing that. So prayer is an invitation to participate with what God is doing in the world. Prayer is an invitation for you and me to become acutely aware, alert, ready, and available to the living God. Prayer is not an escape from reality. It is an engagement with what God is really actually up to in your life, in your family's life, and in the world. Devote yourselves to prayer, Paul says, keeping alert in it with thanksgiving. And you know what? Pray for us as well. Pray that the Lord would open up a door that the word of God might be proclaimed in word and deed clearly, compellingly, so that those who haven't yet heard and those who don't yet know about the amazing news of Jesus and the life he offers them, so that they might hear and believe and trust and live with him forever. That's what you and I are invited into. Let us devote ourselves to this kind of conversation with God. Thanks for joining our Christ Pacific Sunday Sermon Podcast. To hear more of our sermons, or to subscribe, or to learn how you can be engaged with what we're up to in Huntington Beach, please visit us at cpc.com.